Welcome to the Wellness Renaissance Podcast, exploring topics to help you find the pieces that fit into your health puzzle. Well, hello, it is I, Judy. Welcome to today's Wellness Renaissance book chat. I thought I would share with you one of my readings, From Here to Eternity, Traveling the World to Find the Good Death by Caitlin Doughty. It is a fantastic book. If you don't know who Caitlin Doughty is, I highly suggest you check her out. She is a mortician. she has a YouTube show called Ask the Mortician. I've heard her on various other things too. I've heard her on a podcast, and she's done a bunch of stuff on the web and YouTube. She also has some great books. Does Smoke It in Your Eyes? And Will My Cat Eat My Eyeballs? But the one that I'm talking about today is From Here to Eternity. Basically, it is a book where she travels around the world, quite frankly, and a few spots in the U.S., to look at how people do death differently. So, meaning, she got into the funeral business and discovered basically kind of what a racket it is, basically, that it was really started around selling caskets and how much the ante keeps upping itself as the things that we do for the funeral get bigger and bigger and fancier, and the distance between sort of the actual death process and the bringing together the community in and the family involved in that keeps getting more distance and more distanced. I mean, we have our community and our family around us, but if you look at some of these other cultures and how everybody is involved in such a different way, more intimately with even the dead body, it's kind of phenomenal. So she lays the framework for looking at the current industry that we have and how basically that it's more expensive and corporate and bureaucratic than any of the other funeral industries on earth. I believe those are her actual words, if I recall correctly. And that it's taken only a century for us to forget what funerals once were. It's interesting when I think of her saying that, because I think of when people talk about it, about when they want to do a funeral and they think, well, they say, you know, well, we need to do it this way. This is the way it's done. And I'm thinking when I think back on those conversations, not only in this topic, but other topics too, where no, it really hasn't been done that way. And in some cases, it's just the way it's sort of couth at the moment, or fashionable, maybe is a better word, that what we're really saying is, well, we just sort of want to be, you know, in the in crowd, I guess. And there's a lot of people who are looking to do this differently now. So Caitlin is sort of coming up at this amazing, beautiful time, and I don't know how much she's driving it and how much it's driving her and how much it's synergistic sort of mindsets coming together. But her book is her going all over the world and some spots in the U.S., to look at exactly what rituals other people have and sort of bring that back to us and get us re-in touch with what options are out there and how we think about death. So she visits a place where, can't remember if they actually keep the body in the home, but you know, it's there for years and years and it's preserved and they bring it out and they dress it and they interact with it in that kind of way. I don't remember all the details of the individual things that kind of run together for me, but it's really phenomenal. And she goes in depth into the culture, so you gain an understanding. And just as I read the book, and I read the audio version. I love the audio version. Caitlin reads it, and I love Caitlin. I'm glad that she is reading it, because you get the nuances from her tonality. And if you've seen anything she's done, you know that she has this just great tone that infers what she's trying to say. So I'm so glad that they let her read this book. I read something, I think it was a review, that talked about her reading the book and that she's so chipper. And that actually is a really good description of her and how she tells her stories. But the book for me kind of read like a movie, you know? I felt like I was where she was and could really see what was going on. And she gives you enough background to really understand, because she seems to really just dive in. This is a subject she is so passionate about learning, passionate about changing how we view it, the sustainability around it, the cost around it, so that we are more connected and it's more of a community coming together and being a part of the death process instead of being so afraid of it or having it be sort of this deviant thing. So if you think you are ever going to die, I would highly suggest you read this book. It's just a great eye-opener. And it's amazing what's going on around the world that we have no idea about. And we think they're weird. They think we're really weird. This sort of disconnected thing, you know, the denial sort of what's going to happen or what is happening, which I can make sense of. One of the stories she tells is her trip to Crestone, I believe it's Crestone, Colorado, where they have one of, if not the only, open air funeral pyre in this little town in Colorado. And not only does she share the story of going to this funeral, and one of the people who was so invested in the idea of using the pyre for their own death didn't live there but was dying and bought a piece of land so that they could be part of the community so that they could use the pyre when they died. That's how dedicated that this was, how they wanted to go. And she tells a story of how this got here. So now it is a pyre. It's a spot that you all go to have the pyre. It used to be some people who would bring the pyre around to people who wanted to do this. And people were very dedicated in this town to want to do this. So eventually they worked to get a actual spot that you can now go there and see. Interesting story. There was a gentleman in the town who did not want this. He thought this was, you know, not a good thing for many different reasons. And he started a group called Neighbors Burning Neighbors. Ended up in the end, he wanted to use the pyre when he died. So basically, this group of very dedicated people worked to figure out what the people's objections were and worked with that. And boom, now they have this place. But she tells the story of her experience going to the funeral, a funeral that she was invited to, not knowing the person who died, but connecting with them and asking to be part of their ceremony, I'm assuming. And they invited her to come. And the story is just this beautiful, you know, it's like a day-long thing, and many people hang out all day long. I think she said in this particular funeral, there's like 150 people there, and they all surrounded the pyre. Family members started the person on fire, and they used juniper, which apparently is the best-smelling thing when it burns. So that's how they sort of deal with the smell, I guess. But it's this beautiful ceremony, and then people leave as they go, but there's just, she tells some stories of just some amazing community building that happens around this. She also talks about the sustainability of it and how it isn't dangerous and it doesn't put nasty chemicals in the air and it's not a problem, basically. So it's very curious and it sounds beautiful, and you will have just a whole new respect for some traditions that just sound kind of crazy. It's a wild behind-the-scenes look that I think you'll agree with me that when you read it, you'll sort of feel honored that it was a trip you also got to take. So she's all over the country, Spain, Tokyo, Mexico. She talks about how how the James Bond movie has influenced the way they do funerals down there. So the James Bond movie, and I apologize, I don't remember which movie it was, had this big funeral in Mexico, and that was not taken from Mexico, but Mexico sort of apparently decided that they needed to duplicate that, and so they took that on. So that's really interesting history. I had actually just learned that from somebody else before we had our Day of the Dead here in Duluth. Fascinating stuff. She travels to Indonesia, to Joshua Tree, California, and then of course the Colorado trip and other places as well. I love that she also gives us some insight to how things work here behind the scenes as well, which I think is great just to understand what's going on in our own country. That's not the focus, and she usually uses it as a comparison to, you know, what she's talking about in other countries. Fun little facts are cremations. If you have somebody cremated and you want to be there to watch, that is something that you have or should have the option to do. I think it's something that we don't necessarily even know is an option. I know I first learned that when I took my death education class in college and we toured a crematorium and we asked that question and they said, yeah, if you wanted to do that, you could do that. And I think she even addresses in the book that it's something that's not even mentioned as an option. So it's one of those times where we cannot wait for, you know, if we want to do something, it's a good reminder in much of our lives that if we want to do something, we should probably ask about it and feel the awkwardness of that rather than waiting and saying, well, I'll see if they give me the option. Because in this case, and others too, they don't give you the option just in case you're uncomfortable with it. So I try to follow the rule of just be brave and ask. I'm not always so great at it, but I'm getting a little better. The other fun little fact that came out of the book was the selfie stick. So we know that we had the selfie stick that came out a few years ago. There was some dude who invented this actually years ago. Like, I don't remember how many years ago, if it was like the 80s, something like that. Anyway, he had a different name for it, like something like hold your camera farther pole or something like that. But it was the same thing. It was a stick that you mounted your camera on so you could get a wider shot with you in it. But by the time the selfie stick came around, his was very much dead and gone. So a dude before his time, or else he just didn't quite have the marketing plan that the selfie stick did. I've had a chance to watch a few of her videos talking about the work she's doing, and I tell you, I am just impressed and inspired by her putting herself out there to do this work, to do funeral reform, because I think it's so needed. I haven't been involved in a whole lot of funerals in my life, but it is a fascinating thing to take the question of what did our ancestors do when these things came about? They didn't slap down a big check to pay for it. We had different ways of doing this. And do we call this civilized? Is it civilized because we're paying somebody $10,000 for a casket and a funeral? And is there any other way that we can do this that brings us together more and has us more connected? So I'm impressed with the people who are doing things, making different choices about their funerals and how they want to have that. I think people are getting more accepting of that. I get that it kind of feels weird when people make really different choices as to what they're doing with their death, their dying or discussing death. But I also totally get it as well. And I'm also one who loves to go casket shopping. I don't know what it is. I think they're amazingly beautiful and gorgeous. I love the simple wood ones, and I love the ones that are like cars. You know, they're like cars that they cost nearly as much as a car, minus the radio, which is important to me. I should really request that if I'm ever buried in a casket. I kind of doubt that's what's going to happen. But if I am, I want a good radio with good speakers. Same thing I want a car. It needs to be pretty and it needs to have a good stereo. If I'm going to have to live in a casket for the rest of my preserved bodily life, maybe I want a good stereo, which I know sounds ridiculous, but if you also think about it, it's sort of all the rest of the stuff we do and we put in there is also kind of silly or not. So, hey, good stereo. Everyone should go casket shopping on a time when they are not committing to purchase anything that day, because then you can look at all the pretties and you can walk away and think about it and really assess how you feel. Because if you have to buy one that day, you're going to get caught up in the pretties. Trust me, whether it's for you or someone else. And I've been casket shopping enough times to know what I would absolutely love. I have about 10 combinations of caskets and the inner material. I don't know what the inner material is called. It probably has some fancy dance name that I should probably know, that are ridiculously expensive. I don't want anybody to pay that much money for a casket, but I do enjoy looking at them. So I know this isn't Judy's theory on how to do your funeral. I could do a whole podcast on that. Somewhat uneducated and somewhat from experience. The funerals I have been a part of, a few of them anyway, have been very thought-provoking. So I do have many thoughts on that. Except to say, I will say, however, if you have any inclination to pick out your own casket or to decide how you want any of your funeral type things to be, I highly suggest you write it down or go look, because it is a hard decision to make for somebody else. Are you being disrespectful by going simple? What will the neighbors think if we do the simple casket versus the fancy pants, beautiful Cadillac casket that I love? But that is not what the book is about. She is simply sharing all of these amazing things that she's learned and helping us to broaden our minds to what is possible not necessarily even saying we should take on those types of ceremonies, but just what's possible in community and connection and death positivity. So do check out the book if you have any inclination, because it's amazing. On that note as well, if this is a topic that excites you and you're in Duluth, Minnesota, check out the Death Cafe of the North Facebook page. We have not, if you're listening to this as it's coming out, we have not set up a next Death Cafe, but join the page so you find out about it as soon as it is set up and ready to rock. If you are not around Duluth, go to deathcafe.com and you will actually find the Death Cafe. So it's a whole organization. And you can find a death cafe in your area, or they will tell you exactly how to start one. There are like rules and regs on doing this. So, and they highly promote it involving cake. Ours have yet to have any cake, which is okay. I'm just saying, don't come to the death cafe for cake. You're probably going to be sorely disappointed. But if this topic skeeves you out or makes you a little uncomfortable, that is exactly why some of the people have come. That is literally the reason they've given. I'm not comfortable with this topic, so I thought I should be here. I believe that's pretty much a direct quote from one of the people that have been at our death cafes. All right, take care. Thank you so much for listening. Have a wonderful week. Please check out the podcast website for the other topics at wellnessrenpodcast.com. Consider supporting the podcast and being part of our little podcast family and helping me keep this Wellness Renaissance mission going and growing and moving forward. Supporting Wellness Renaissance on Patreon is one great way of doing that. Sharing, giving me feedback, all of those things are truly helping me support the mission that I'm trying to accomplish. So thank you, thank you, thank you. Have a great week. Take good care, and may you continue to find the pieces that fit beautifully and easily into your health and wellness puzzle. And I know that some might argue that you just did a podcast about death. Well, again, the comfort, the discussion, all of that stuff creates the health. The discussion that we're able to have, the transparency, the freedom in communication, the freedom in knowing that we have given somebody the funeral that they want, or we in our dying moments have been heard and been able to have what we want. That is part of our health, even in our process of dying. I hope that makes sense. Take care. Bye.